Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm sorry, you just did the forecast, so I just looked in Carbondale. It's 1010 on WGN Radio. Good morning. It's John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. I'm here until noon. You can also hear me Monday through Friday from 1 to 3. Domitiso in Carbondale, it's a mix of sun and clouds and 86 for Monday. Chicago, what are we saying the Monday forecast is?
On Monday, we're looking at 87 here.
And yeah, but more importantly, what is the sky going to be like?
Well, it says partly sunny. Now, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1, but 20% may not happen. Doesn't look like it.
Well, 1:20 p.m. To me, partly sunny means mostly cloudy. Think about it. And mostly sunny means partly cloudy. So what we want is, I'll take my chances with a mix of sun and clouds. That sounds like what you've got there.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I've always wondered that, too, the difference between partly sunny and mostly cloudy.
Well, you think about it. You've got the sky. If it's partly cloudy, then it's mostly sunny.
Mostly sunny.
Incidentally, I've thought about this. It's one of my big thoughts. And my view is that when you are saying partly sunny, you should say mostly cloudy. And when you're saying partly cloudy, they should say mostly sunny. They should never say partly. They should always say mostly. I don't care if it's partly cloudy, if it's going to be mostly sunny. What you want to know is mostly what is the sky going to be like.
But then you've got to be optimistic, John. So partly sunny makes me feel a little better than mostly cloudy. It's a glass half full type of thing.
I am that generally, but more than anything, I mean, I want to be correct about
this. Accurate.
What can you anticipate in the sky?
This is true.
I'm shocked that Lou Manfredini was able to sort of engender some sort of heat from his listeners. Nobody has more love for a host than Lou Manfredini. And all he was saying was, you ought to be able to wear a welding mask, for crying out loud. So two things are going to happen. Massive traffic jam and two, a lot of burned retinas and corneas. I don't think I'm going to be wrong about that.
And I don't know if you had a chance to hear this too, but also you've got businesses where people at work are going to be taking breaks from work. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, based on like data from them and how much money folks make, they say employers in Chicago could lose $28 million in productivity because okay. For that 20 minutes.
Fine. Guess what? We can handle it.
We can handle it. It's fine.
That may be coming up later on the business lunch. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Are you kidding? Really?
I think so.
The amount of lost productivity due to – every time they do this, they go, during the NCAA brackets, during the NCAA tournament – the amount of money lost to companies, employees doing their brackets is $87 trillion. They don't know. There is no way to quantify that. And who's to say that they don't make it up when they work more from home or come in earlier, stay later, just find other ways to be productive?
Or even better.
That is the biggest sham statistic in the history of statistics.
Let's be clear. We're not talking about lost productivity exactly, but about people taking the day off to watch the eclipse, which I think there will be a lot of.
Taking the whole day off to watch the eclipse?
Taking some time off to watch the eclipse.
Really?
I don't see how you can't lose a little productivity there. If you're not doing your job for that some period of time.
Well, if you were like, say,
in mass numbers.
Well, if you were on an assembly line and you're rolling off Model Ts and they had to shut it down so everybody can go outside and look at the eclipse.
Yeah.
Well, sure, then fewer boxes roll off the conveyor belt.
Exactly. But that's most of our business here in Chicago, right, is assembly line.
Well, but I don't believe that that's actually going to happen. Mostly people are working in offices and schools or they're truck drivers or whatever, and they're all going to go, hey, look at that. And then they're going to go, oh, I forgot to wear glasses. Oh, my eyes. Oh, that's what's going to happen.
And when you're blind for the rest of your life,
then productivity.
Certain jobs you can't do, I'm sorry to say.
Then productivity drops off. Then you can be a talk show host because you not only don't need to see, you really don't even need to be that smart. You just need to be able to yak.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm pretty excited this week because I wasn't fired by the President of the United States, nor was I on one of the commissions that quit. I was not on the Manufacturing Council, the Infrastructure Council, the Strategic and Policy Forum, or the Arts and Humanities Council. Seven, by the way, just a quick note here, catching up on what's been happening out of Washington, D.C., and the repercussions from the President's handling of Charlottesville. The Salvation Army has canceled their fundraiser, their event at Mar-a-Lago. I'm kind of shocked that they were going to go there. Red Cross, Susan G. Komen, and four others. Seven major contracts were canceled this week at Mar-a-Lago. Going back for just a moment to the phenomenon of the eclipse, though, because thank goodness that we have this ridiculous eclipse. If an eclipse can be ridiculous, this is a ridiculous eclipse. But it comes so at the right time. Do you remember all the angst and anxiety that we had last year in October and November? I don't know if you remember, but that we were ramping up to an election. And the Chicago Cubs gave not only Chicago, but really the whole country, such a great departure from it. You know, even if, you know, whatever side of the political spectrum you were on, you've got to admit that was a nice sort of other thing to think about and talk about. I sort of think we've latched onto this eclipse because it gives us something else to sort of sink our heads and hearts into. The black dot across the United States will travel at 3,000 miles an hour. How awesome is that? This black vroom, orb is just going to zip across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only happening in the United States. It's like God goes, you know what? Those people are losing their minds. Make an eclipse happen. Boom, we get us an eclipse. They're calling it the Great American Eclipse. Donald Trump has said it's the greatest eclipse ever. Nobody else has had an eclipse as great as this.
He didn't say that, did he?
No, he did not. I'm sorry that you have to ask that, but yeah, he did not. He didn't claim it as our own. Oh, the greatest eclipse. Nobody's 110% blackout. 120. So it's been nice to have the eclipse, and I wish you nothing but safety. It does remind me a little bit of what happened when Skylab was going to fall from the sky and everybody got wrapped up in it. It's a little bit like an astronomical kind of a difference there. Pet Rock.
Yeah, you love it. You don't know how much you love it compared to everyone else, I don't think.
I'm sorry about that, everyone else.
No, it's okay. No, first of all, it's your show. You can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah,
but when it came up on the Mincing Rascals,
yeah,
and some one of them, maybe Eric, called you like a science geek.
Yeah.
And you were like, am I?
Yeah.
I was listening to that stunned.
Really?
Because of course you are.
I have a modest interest in science.
There's worse things to be. This is not an insult.
I shouldn't be defensive about that, but I didn't know.
No, it's just plain as day to a lot of us.
You know, you may benefit from some of us telling you things about you didn't realize.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know that I'm being defensive. I'm just a little surprised. I don't think of myself really as a scientist.
I just think you're more interested in the eclipse than other people, but in my view, hopefully in other people's view, it's a little infectious because I generally, eclipse is cool, but it's also come to my attention that it won't be that noticeable here in Chicago. Is
it
that correct?
You will not know
okay.
That we're having a solar eclipse.
Then my interest in the solar eclipse falls astronomically, is one way to put it.
Astronomically! That's very good. A lady called this week.
It really does, though. I don't care.
A lady called on Friday as Bertrand was lapsing into fatigue over my enthusiasm for this topic. And she said, John, I'm just glad you're going to be able to get this out of your solar system.
Hey.
And I was just so happy for that. I was just like, oh, that is so awesome. And I said, and Bertrand was not on board, but I said, text to 312-981-7200, your eclipse jokes and puns. Somebody said, do you know how NASA plans a party, Griff? No, you know how NASA throws a party?
How?
They plan it. They plan it.
You botched it, too.
I know. That's why I don't.
And it still works. That's when you know you've got a good joke. That's how you know it's a real winner.
Can you imagine what Bill Leff would have done with that, though? Cochran would have nailed that, not me. Hey, do you know how planets? Oh, wait. It's 10:18. I need to pause here. And then I want to come back and talk to you because I know a lot of you are very interested in what happened with Project Runway last night, now or two nights ago. Project Runway is back up and running in its 16th season. You may not think of me as the perfect fan of Project Runway, what with me being evidently interested in science and just being generally macho, but I really like that show. And I think it is a reminder that in the reality competition genre, there are two types of shows. Two types of shows. Tell me if you agree with me on that after this.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
Moon River.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
But I'll blame it on the sun. The sun that didn't shine.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
A little musical send up to the eclipse. Thank you to a classmate of my wife Brenda's. Mickey said online, hey, what's your eclipse playlist? And some of these are on her list. And I'm digging it. To me, this is the one that, if nothing else, bespeaks the spirit of the eclipse, but you may have your own favorites.
But then there you get into astrology. Now, is it the dawning of the age of Aquarius? I don't think so.
No, it's not that.
I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't know.
No, but it's
I have
not.
Friends that are really into it.
Yeah, no, it's not about that, but I mean...
But...
can't I just cross genre here, go
well,
from astrology
it's just that,
to astronomy?
Can I just say, with all the other musical picks here, you've gone wild literal, or just...
Oh, way too literal?
No, not too literal, but it's all about the sun...
Right.
In the lyrics.
Right.
But then with this one,
right.
The lyrics don't matter at all. There's just some incongruity there.
Well, there is. I've sort of mixed genre here, but that's why I played this one the last, because to me...
Brings it all home.
I'm going to get a flower headband to just dance in the yard. I'm going to run in the field like the triple rainbow guy. I'm just going to sort of let it ooze over me and feel it. And then go, oh, my eyes, oh! So they had the season premiere of one of my favorite TV shows, Project Runway, with Tim Gund as sort of your mentor-in-chief and Heidi Klum as the host. I like Project Runway because, A, totally into fashion, but, B, because it's a well-produced show. I think that the judges are some of the best judges on TV. I don't really care about fashion. I don't know a lick about it, but I really like watching people intelligently discuss something. And the commentary that they have about how these people put together outfits for the models, I think is just so intelligent. It's more than you and I would know goes into that. You look at runway shows and you go, ah, the crazy clothes, I don't get it. And then you hear these people discuss it and you realize, there is a science, there is an art, there is an appreciation I don't have. And they're so good at it that I kind of find myself getting into it. So there's that. But what really has always drawn me to Project Runway are the contestants. It's just such a mixed bag of fruits and nuts. It's just this really odd collection of people who I think 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago to infinity, would never have had a place on network television or on cable television. They would not have had this huge national platform. I think a lot of these people have been, are, or certainly were marginalized. And now we sort of see them as people and we sort of celebrate their, you know, into their idiosyncrasies. But it's not mocking them, even if you're laughing at them. You go, oh man, some of these people, the drama, right? But also the skill, the talent, the personality, the life, the who they are. And Project Runway brings these contestants to life. This season particularly, good grief, there's not a one of them that I went to high school with. I mean, it's quite the collection of multi-hued, multi-oriented, multi-colored people. It really is. And I'm just looking at them going, none of them were on the track team when I was at Manuka. And so then, and isn't it great that here I am watching them, learning about them? They're much more interesting than me, and every bit as talented. So hooray for them. And that's what these kinds of shows do. Griffin, there are two kinds of competition reality shows, okay. Those that tear people down and those that build people up. Project Runway is one that builds people up. I'll run them down with you and tell me if you agree. The kinds of shows like that, and of course, they're ones that maybe I'm just a fan of, and so I'm putting sometimes square pegs in round holes, but I always thought Amazing Race, which is kind of a silly travel around the world competition show, you learn about these interesting collections of people, and I think usually that was pretty good. Beauty and the Geek, do you remember that show? What a preposterous thing that was.
Yeah.
You know, geeky guys and model girls. The guys are dweeby. The girls aren't smart. They put them together. it's such a broad brush. But I always liked that the geeks were given their due.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a level playing field, but maybe a different playing field from the beauties, you know? Mm-hmm. You go, well, they really are pretty awesome, these guys.
All that show tended to be about how they each had qualities that the other did not possess, but that were all equally important.
Thank you.
Looking back on it, though, I don't know. That one, in conception, feels a little iffy. I'd have to go back and actually watch it to see. But because the gist being that beautiful women aren't smart, it's like, okay.
And that smart guys can't be beautiful.
Right, and that seems wrong, but I remember liking that show.
I do, too. And sure, the stereotypes don't always play out.
But these are your building people up shows, right? Is that what... No, I'm wondering.
Well,
no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What else?
Well, when Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Biggest Loser came out,
uh-huh.
And I know Queer Eye wasn't really a competition show, but in each case, I thought, what a mean-spirited show. Think about Biggest Loser, for instance, and yet you got to learn about these people, their travails. How often do you sit down with a person who's so large you would avert your eyes and have a conversation about their life, who they are, and how they feel about that? And are they people inside there? And you did with Biggest Loser. And Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was just where this couple, a man and a woman, help people who aren't dressing well dress well.
That's
but
what not to wear.
Pardon me. Thank you for that. But Queer Eye for the Straight Guy sort of had that as well.
Similar. Yeah.
It was, let's take some gay guys or guy and help other people, straight guys, learn how to better dress. But then you learned how clothes and appearance was more important to people than they would acknowledge. So I love that about that. Okay, just real quick, Riff. So on my build people up, I think America's Got Talent. Certainly Britain's Got Talent. I thought that Dancing with the Stars and American Idol all do that. Are you with me so far?
No. But we'll talk about it. Can we talk about it after the news?
Okay, I'm late for the news.
Yeah.
Griff thinks I've completely fallen off the rail here.
I just don't agree on every individual point, but I can't bring it up right now.
Okay, it's 10:31. And I don't mean to ask you, but I want you to call 312-981-7200. I don't mean to say, okay, what's your guilty pleasure? But just give me a reaction to one of your favorite or maybe least favorite reality competition shows. We haven't even gotten to the ones that tear people down yet. It's 10:32. Thank you, Doma T. 10:40. Griff and I were talking before your news about reality competition shows. I was a little captivated by Project Runway's season debut. Do you have a show that's kind of in your wheelhouse along those lines?
I just found out about this show called Signed. And it's about artists trying to get record deals with judges Rick Ross, the rapper, The Dream, a singer and songwriter for Beyonce and all of these other folks, Celine Dion, and then Lenny S. with Roc Nation. But it's like American Idol for rappers, and it's really, really good.
So is it who wins, or then whoever wins gets a deal with one of these
with
the label? Huh?
Whoever wins gets a deal with the record label. And there was one guy, the song was so good, Rick Ross decided to do a record with him. But it's like you said, it's both uplifting, and they also tear these people down terribly because, you know, rappers have no filter. So it's a good show. It's on VH1. I didn't even know about it until like a few days ago.
Is this the first season of that?
I think so. Griff, you know?
No, I'm not sure about that. I think you're right, but what you just said is a point that I wanted to make, but we didn't have time, is that I think you are categorizing these two neatly. Almost every reality show both builds people up and breaks them down.
Tears them down. I said there's two kinds, those that uplift people, those that tear people down.
Yeah, and this one is like both. Like a kid came on with a fur coat, And he said, is that a real fur? He's like, it's a faux fur. Rick Ross said, what is faux? What is that? You have on a fake fur? You're going to perform for me in a fake fur coat? You know, just, I mean, they're just, you know, a little brazen. It's hilarious.
And then they rap, huh?
Then they rap, and they've got singers, they got rappers, they've got singers. And some of the people who are terrible advance, which rap is really in a terrible place in some ways right now. So it's an interesting show to kind of...
You know, American Idol, when it first started out, was a hit. And then as the show evolved, do you remember the turn that American Idol took where they would spend time in the run-up to who actually makes the show? You know, there's several weeks of the auditions. They would put people up there that were... not talented and maybe not in on the joke, and then just hold them up for ridicule. And Simon Cowell particularly was really good. And, you know, really the all of the judges that were on then were not kind, I thought.
No, the show itself wasn't kind, though. In the auditions, the judges really didn't have to do anything. They just sit there and take it and then be mean after. But
the fact that some of those people were even on.
The fact that they got there, they went through multiple rounds of auditions just to get on camera. By the time they were there, everyone who had seen them knew they were terrible. There was no point for them to be auditioning for the judges. You've already been through so many rounds. So that's just cruel.
And some of them, I don't think, had the mental capacity to really appreciate what was happening. And I thought that was unconscionable.
Or just emotionally unprepared for the situation. When you've been let through so many times, that's why they thought they were good.
Right, yeah.
Just because they were there.
It
Why
is
else
amazing.
Would you be there
and
unless this was a cruel mechanism of a show?
Yeah, right.
Which they didn't expect.
Well, it's amazing that some people don't know that their friends wouldn't pull them aside and go, hey, I don't know what's happening here, but trust me, you're not a good singer. I don't know how you have that conversation with your friend when the producers of American Idol said I would go to the next round.
I say all this as a fan of American Idol. I don't know, I do too.
I am too.
But it was wrong.
Well, don't
but that's
you...
what I mean. It built... The people that it wanted to build up, it built them up. It chose those people, and then other people it threw down. It's
okay, but I don't think that Amazing Race or Dancing with the Stars or what were some of the other shows that I've liked over the years. Why are you laughing at me? I don't think they were.
I like the idea of someone being like, "We need to build Rick Perry up. Let's help him out." Or
okay,
David
but,
Ross.
Oh yeah, but Rick Perry as an example. I think what was great about Rick Perry or Sarah Palin's daughter. Which one was it? Was it Bristol or
you tell me?
It was one of her daughters, and I think a lot of us came on prepared to not like her. Uh-huh. The same way you may have a bias about fat people or queer people or people of a different color or religion, and these shows lets them be who they are. Some of them are more fake than others, right? But mm-hmm. I think in the case of Rick Perry, you go, oh, he's not such a bad guy. Sure, he's going to mishandle our nuclear stockpile, but he seems to be that there's this a version of him or a measure of him that I didn't know.
This what you're saying, though, I would probably wield as a criticism of the show.
How's that?
If there are more important reasons that I wouldn't care for him, a show that tries to humanize him to me, I would not.
What's the problem with humanizing someone?
I don't know.
You want to keep them in this.
Why are you trying to make me like him? There's more important.
I'm enjoying hating him.
I know.
Not just that, though. But more important reasons that I disagree with him. I don't need to see him dancing right now.
Well, like, it's let's a dancing talk. Show.
I mean, this is not relevant. This is not.
I think
an important
this is quite relevant. I think it is important.
I mean, this is more just why I disagree with like that. Like, maybe politicians shouldn't go on if they want to be taken seriously.
But I think that we should be able to, you know, appreciate people's humanness and still be able to disagree with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And when we do that, I think we're better able to have the conversations with them we need to have. Mm-hmm. Dancing with the Stars, all they can do is ask Rick Perry to dance. And then in the monologue section where he talks to the camera and says, I always wanted to dance, but my dad wouldn't let me, so I went into politics. Whatever that part of the show is, you know, you learn a little bit about them. You see their interaction. You see their humility or their absence thereof.
Okay, but in that other part of the show that's not dancing,
yeah,
I would rather they grill him on policy.
Really?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to watch either way, so they can do whatever they want. But
really? So
I think that would be very funny.
Rick Perry
dances.
That would
be incredibly funny.
Then he goes over to the judges' stand.
His shirt
there.
Is half unbuttoned.
Right. He's on. He's sweating.
A silk shirt.
There's a beautiful woman in high heels next to him, and they go, "How could you possibly? You want that kind of a thing?"
Yeah. Then 20 minutes on the death penalty.
That was a great premise for it, show, actually.
Domitia does not, and it completely undercuts the point I'm trying to make here.
We're so off on off the rails here. I'm sorry.
It is what it is. I'm talking about reality shows and the value of them, and I think some of them make me feel better about the contestants and me, and some of them don't.
Okay, let's the most important reality show of our era at this point
is American Idol.
No, is The Apprentice to me.
All right.
Does that build people up or break them down in your estimation?
It makes them president.
It makes built one of them up.
Okay, you know what my answer was going to be to this. I'm going to change it, and I don't want you to call me a hypocrite because I've thought about this one a little more.
Uh-huh.
I saw American Idol as a show that built people up, that humanized them, that gave you a better understanding of who they are. Mm-hmm. And let's take the namesake of the show off the table for a second and forget about Rod Blagojevich. People like, I don't know.
I'm confused. You just said you saw the American Idol as a show that built people up.
Oh, no, no.
You're talking about The Apprentice.
I'm talking about The Apprentice.
Okay, you said, okay.
So we're not going to talk about Donald Trump, but here again, there were those people who you have in a box as the rock star or the athlete or the fashion model or all the people they have, or some of that's the celebrity version, and then some of them weren't at all. And I think you don't care that much about those people because you didn't know them before the show. But you did get to see, I've got to stop thinking about Omarosa right now because I think she's one of the most troubling contestants in the history of reality competition TV shows.
Yeah, but she was perfect. I mean, that's why she became the star, the one name of a contestant you could probably ever remember from The Apprentice. Well, it's because she was perfectly suited to that kind of cutthroat, do what it takes to succeed.
Yeah, no, I see that as a show that more tore people down than built people.
Well, it was the catchphrase was "you're fired." I mean,
but of course
it was.
What's problematic to me now is, of course, that based on that celebrity and the color of her skin, she has a position in the White House, and I don't think that's sufficient reason to be there for that. It's 10:49. Okay, so getting back to Project Runway, I thought it was a pretty good show the other night. It's 10:49. My old producer, Matt Bubala, and one of our hosts here at WGN Radio has just strolled into the studio.
Hi, John Williams.
What do you want?
I don't want anything.
What are you doing?
We're heading down to the Air and Water Show.
Tell everybody where you're going to go, or do you not want to give away your good spot to see the Air and Water Show?
Actually, I have 4 extra tickets I'm going to give to you. You and Brenda should come join us.
Are you kidding?
Why don't you guys come down afterwards?
Because I got stuff to do.
Oh, you got nothing.
This is for a specific day. I got to go today.
It's right now. Yeah. Come right after the show.
$12.
Have Griffey come down.
Yeah. Wow.
So the Theater on the Lake. No, you're going to keep those. The Theater on the Lake is just north, I think, of the zoo. And it's going through a $6 million refurbishment. You can find all about it at dnainfo.com. But to raise money, they're selling, you know, a private space for $10 today, a ticket. And they'll, like, guarantee you some lawn space. And they got bathrooms and food you can buy and stuff like that. So we're going to head out there. How do we get down there from here? Should we take the bus or take a cab? Or
Griff, that's kind of up in your neighborhood. You're going to Lincoln Park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to Lincoln Park.
So, like, Fullerton, is that right north of Lincoln Park Zoo?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get there. Should we take a bus? Should we
take the Red Line. You could walk to the Red Line.
It's going to be a heck of a walk then from the Red Line over there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to do that. I want to get
the Red
right
line and walk.
There.
You guys could divvy
could
up from here.
What
get
if
a
I took the
bicycle.
151 bus right here?
They got a lot of planes flying around. You just hop on one of those.
You're as helpful as your dad. You know that?
I don't. Do you want to ride? Is that what this is?
Yeah, that's really what
would
it
you,
is.
Could you get out early and just give us a lift up there?
Well,
drive
I can
us
leave.
Off?
He's,
you my show ends at noon.
Yeah, he can do it on his own.
Well, it kind of. I think it's starting by then.
It starts at 10. I think it goes.
Well, it started
to 3.
At 10, but then I'm just there for the planes. I don't really care about the water part. I know it's bad. But.
Well, we were thinking about going up into the Willis Tower because you can get brunch up there. It's drinks, food. And the panoramic 360 view, of course, in the sky deck at Willis Tower. And it's like 100 a person.
Yeah, that's too much.
But my concern, too,
I feel
is
like
that
it's a little far away from it,
it's,
too.
Well, I think you're too far off the
The Hancock, maybe, if you did something at the Hancock.
I wonder if they're doing that on the 95th over there. I don't know.
Well, there's another place right here on the lake that's doing a big, like, $150 person thing. Yeah. I don't remember what that was. This was $10. This is more.
You bringing your family?
Yeah, they're all downstairs.
You got to have stop at your family's 6 people. You can't do
I know. So the divvy bike we thought about, but I know somebody would get hurt on the way there. Probably a pedestrian more than us, but that wouldn't work out too
And you don't want to Uber up there. Or...
Uber would probably be bad, but they have those van cabs all the time. Couldn't we just, if we grabbed a cab up here, how much do you think that would cost?
It's not that far to walk. I mean,
it is too far to walk up to the zoo and past? That's got to be like 4 miles,
no,
right?
It's not 4 miles. It's about
I was going to say a cab split between six people, but then it's like, well, it's not really.
Each
you do
of
it with your family.
Has to pay.
Get them to chip in.
Yeah, well,
see the 151, that bus that stops right there. I know that goes up to the zoo.
Go online. I think the 151 will get you close enough that you could hop off and walk.
I know this is going to sound really suburban of me, but Griffey, can I do cash on the bus? Do you have to do a car? Do I have to have a pass?
I don't think they're going to take. Sam, do you know, can Mac get on the bus with just cash or how does that work?
I don't know if you can use just cash anymore. I thought it was
either a card
or coins.
You want my card?
Or coins for six people?
Yeah. You want my card?
How much do you have on there? Do you have enough on there?
I don't know.
We got
know.
Six people both ways.
Yeah, I don't know that I have 12 more rides on there.
Oh, I am so suburban.
So you've come all the way in from Iowa. Where do you live again?
West Dundee.
Yeah, well,
home
Iowa.
Home of the 10 and 11 U-State champions.
By the way, props to Matt Bubala's team. Matt is the coach of the state's 11-year-old Little League champions. Have you been watching the 12-year-old Little League World Series?
This is our favorite time of year, whether we're in it or not. We love watching the Little League World Series.
There have been some great games.
Perfect game yesterday from North Carolina.
I heard that over three pitchers,
did
I hear?
Yep.
The kids are too big. I can't believe the home run, you can hit a 200-foot hit, and it's a gigantic home run in Little League.
Well, it's 225 feet is the fence there. So you have to
all the way around?
That. Yes. But here's the thing.
These kids are hitting at 300, some of them.
They are. And we had kids on our team killing the ball. We had some of our boys hit 9 and 10 home runs during the All-Star season, during our 12 games.
Wow.
The kids are too big and too old. Little League has changed that. Next year will be the absolute last year that 13-year-olds are in the Little League World Series because they've changed the age range. Also, every Little League bat being used this year in this series is illegal next year.
Oh.
Coming out with a completely new bat standard.
The composite ones.
All these poor parents have to spend $300, $400 on a brand new bat next year.
Wow.
And they're going to perform more like wood. They're going to let them have a bigger barrel, but it's going to be dead.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what college and high school have done.
Because I'm surprised nobody has gotten hurt.
My favorite Little League memory is when Danny Almonte was 17.
Yes, I do.
They pulled him out of Puerto Rico and threw him on the team from New York, and he was just mowing kids down.
Well, he drove the team van,
yes.
And that was the first red flag.
He was 17.
Yeah, he wasn't 17.
Yes, he was.
He was. Really?
He had to be 12.
He was 16. I thought he was 16.
Okay, 16, 17.
If he was a day over 12, wow.
But you know, there's a lot of kids that are as big as him in Little League because, you know, it's a game of puberty when they hit it and when they get big.
And some of the kids, though, are prepubescent, and so then they're...
Oh, yeah.
So you've got like a 4-foot-tall kid. And then a
6-foot-4 kid.
You've got a guy that's 98 pounds and a kid that's 180 pounds. It's stunning, the difference.
And a lot of the 6-foot-4 kids are 120 pounds.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That
they grew so fast, they look like they're going to blow over.
Well, good luck to you getting to the Aaron Waters Show, Matt. It's over by the lake. Just go over there,
right.
Turn
Head towards
left.
The lake, look for the planes. Don't walk into the water.
Yeah.
Sam, there's tickets here if you want to come join us after your shift is over.
I've got to go to Wrigley, Matt. I appreciate it, though.
You know what? And stop with your smarmy tweets. You know what? Do you follow Sam on Twitter?
I don't know that
they're
I do.
They're an average baseball team. What do you want from me?
Because
they're
every time the Cubs do something well, Sam writes, well, I mean, he has this, you could hear in his voice the Sox fan coming out in his reporting.
No, because you can't critique them. They're impossible to critique. If I critique them, people hop all over me. They're average right now.
All right,
that's fine. You can say that. But
hey,
every
Matt,
time they do.
When are you on the air?
2 a.m.
We'll be listening.
Beat it, Bubala.
You actually want to talk to people, don't you?
Hey, there's lots of people.
I've heard your show. Trust
dubious
me.
People,
there
but
are.
You know.
Nope, it's all good.
Let me just cut it all off. And one final point. I think I was on the phone. I'm seeing some texts now, so I missed this, but there was some question of whether you can use cash on the bus.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course you can. Now we're moving on.
Thank you, Griffin.
We've got to pause for the news. Domati, apologies. We'll get to the news in a minute. Listen to Matt Bubala after you go to bed tonight.
No, that was last night.
And if... You're on Saturday morning.
I'm on Saturday morning, 2 to 5 a.m.
If people want to get the Chicago Air and Water Show private lakefront viewing party tickets for just $12, go online to...
ChicagoSocial.com, but probably just show up there at this point, I would say.
Theater on the Lake. It's the Theater on the Lake. All right, Matt.
Nice to see you, John.
See and as always hear you. It's 10:59. Thank you, sir. It's 11:10. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I'm here until noon. You can also hear me weekdays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio. And like me on Facebook, I'm King John on Facebook. And we post videos there and have a lot of conversations that you can be part of as well. We've posted the third episode in Season 2 of our Crown Cam videos. And if you don't know what that is and want to chuckle at my expense, there's one for you. The Crown Cam video, Season 2, Episode 3, was posted this week. We also record in the studios at WGN Radio on Thursdays a podcast called The Mincing Rascals. It almost always features Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, Krista McQuarrie, who is an editorial writer for the Chicago Tribune, our Steve Bertrand, Scott Stantis, an editorial cartoonist there, and yours truly. We post the podcast on Thursdays and broadcast part of it on this show on Saturdays. And so today, we pick it up with Eric Zorn and the gang talking a little bit about the place of Confederate statues in the public square in Chicago. They're actually not, and you know why we're doing this, after Charlottesville, the focus has turned over to what statues and memorials should or should not be displayed. But it's not just there. In Chicago, Balbo Street? Well, Balbo is named after Italo Balbo, and he's an Italian with a not perfect track record. So maybe we ought to get rid of a statue to or the name of the street Balbo. To say nothing else, we have monuments to Confederate soldiers here in Chicago as well. That's where we pick it up this week on WGN.
First of all, these statues of Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, and the other leaders of the Confederacy and military leaders there, they were installed, some of them actually rather late in our history, as kind of a middle finger to people who were advocating for the end of segregation, who were advocating for civil rights. What these statues stand for is this rebellion against this country. I mean, the people like Washington and Jefferson built this country. People like Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis decided they were going to tear the country apart.
So they're like Confederate and flags these
they're,
days?
They're traitors. They're treasonous. And we have sort of for years forgotten that. We've fuzzed it over. So it stands for, you know, good old Southern hospitality and Southern cooking. And it doesn't mean that these symbols haven't been painful reminders to a lot of people as to what this region of the country is proud of. They have to go. In every public setting, anything that is there to honor members of the Confederacy has to go.
No, I just disagree. I don't think they have to be viewed as painful reminders. I think that's kind of dancing around what is our history. They are reminders that the Confederacy was unsuccessful. They are reminders that we are a land that appreciates diversity, that we are a country built on opportunity. And I would suggest to groups that don't like these monuments, then let's fundraise and build something else. What would you like to memorialize? Who would you like to counter a statue of Robert E. Lee with? But I just think taking them down is, it's just pointless. It's silly.
Who says Donald Trump isn't a politician? I mean, he gave comfort to Nazis this week, and by the end of the week, the subject has changed to statues around the country. This isn't what this should be about. But this has become what it's about, whether it's Balbo in Chicago. Nancy Pelosi apparently moved to have all Confederate statues removed from the Capitol grounds. Come on, Nancy, you're playing into their hands.
No,
it's ridiculous.
I disagree.
Now this is going to become about that, and this isn't about that.
What do you want to talk about?
This is about swastika-wearing, torch-bearing people who call Jews and black people animals. That's what this is about, and they're going to succeed. And us debating whether or not to take down statues of George Washington.
It all stands for what we are as a country and what our public values are. And that's why I draw a distinction between what's on private property and what's on public property. We've got a statue to Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee is one of the great traitors in our history. He led a treasonous rebellion. He should have been hanged at the end of the war, probably. In fact, it was Lincoln's probably smart decision not to do that. But it was a terrible thing. 600,000 people lost their lives because these guys, and they seceded in defense of slavery. That was the main, if you read the Articles of Secession from these states, the Civil War was about slavery.
Yeah, and I'm not defending
that. This is somehow some sort of a gentle reminder of our history and the can-do spirit. I reject that absolutely. These statues, the Confederate battle flag, it stands for nothing else.
Especially the statues that went up during Jim Crow or the Civil Rights era. I mean, I think, Kristen, with those statues should have your plaque on it that explains this statue was erected to intimidate black people during the days of the Civil Rights era. You know, that would put a little more context into it. This was a Civil War leader, but this statue was built as a protest to efforts to
modernize.
But it was
built, and it's been there for how many years?
No, I'm with you.
And again, it is part of our fabric as a country. These were Americans who were fighting in the Confederacy. It is a shameful part of our past. I just think it's silly if we're – let's talk about race relations. Let's talk about total intolerance and the perversion of the people who are marching. But dissecting and going now onto taking down statues that somehow is going to solve our problems, no. Or that you are a racist person if you don't agree that every statue should be taken down, that's taking us down the wrong path.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think Eric thinks that either, but I don't disagree with you that I don't think they should all be taken down. In Birmingham, Alabama, the mayor, who I believe is African-American, I'm not totally sure, has covered up a statue there, a Civil War statue. He's being sued now by the Attorney General of Alabama because of it. They're going to go to court. The mayor says, look, I'm not about tearing this statue down, but I just want it to have a little more context. I want there to be a little more information about this statue.
How does that not satisfy you, Eric? I mean, you want them to all come down, and I do think
that's
sort of
burying our
history.
Why isn't there a statue of Osama bin Laden outside the 9/11 memorial? Because statues are honors. It's not history. A statue is not history. A statue is an honor. A monument is an honor. You take these statues and put them into a museum, fine. But what does it say when a town has a statue of Robert E. Lee or a high school named for Robert E. Lee or a main road named for Robert E. Lee?
Okay,
what does that tell
those are all over the country,
what does
too.
That tell African-American people about? This is who we honor. We honor the man who led a rebellion in order to keep you in bondage. That's who we're honoring. And how do you get around that? How do you just say, oh, no, it's about sweet tea and sassafras?
No, that's not what anyone is saying. We're sitting here in the Midwest in Chicago making all of these judgments about what we think other towns should do with their public spaces. I don't know when the statue was erected and whether or not they had a referendum and decided whether or not it should be. But that is part of our past. Those were Americans. I hate to make you swallow this fact, but I don't think it makes any sense to be going around and ripping down statues because of the temperature is hot right now.
But what if it's
and
local?
That's the solution.
What if that decision, though, in Charlottesville, the case for the Lee statue was
like burning books to me.
It was a local decision. I mean, really.
Yeah.
So you are here in Chicago going to tell the people of Charlottesville how they should react to their local statue?
I mean,
that should
I'm
be up to them.
Not. I'm saying not. I'm saying that I think it should be a local decision. In Baltimore, I wouldn't support the idea of going around in darkness and taking down some of these statues as a way of out of fear that you're going to create controversy or I don't think that's a good idea, but I don't live in Baltimore.
Well, so you're contradicting yourself then.
Well,
so if it's
I'm
a
hearing.
Local decision to take it down, why the hell can't they take it down whenever they want? And especially if it's safer to take it down during the night because these Nazi thugs are going to be there if they do it during the day.
Right. I'm just saying I disagree with that. If I lived in Charlottesville, if I lived in Baltimore, and now I live in Chicago and they're talking about taking down something on the South Side, I just don't think it solves any problems. I would not be for it. I'm not for burning books. I'm not for taking away things from people because they are offensive. I don't think I'm being contradictory.
Yeah, we agree more than we disagree. I mean, I'm a little worried, too, about now going after Balboa. Where will it stop?
This is not about burning books. This is not about saying that we're getting rid of materials. I'm saying put them in the museum context. Get them off the public square where they are honors.
That's hiding
them,
Eric. Don't you think
no,
so?
No, no. There's a total difference between having a statue of Robert E. Lee in your town in Lee Park in the middle of your town and having a statue of Robert E. Lee in a museum or a bust of Robert E. Lee in a museum. Huge difference.
Well, what happens if we do a referendum in Chicago about this? And what if we decide to keep that statue up? I guess you'd have no choice about that.
I would have no choice about that. I think it's kind of strange that we have named a road, a street, and have a statue for Balbo, who was one of Mussolini's top aviators. It's kind of a strange thing. There's so many other Italian Americans we can be proud of, or Italians.
We have a monument on just south of Grant Park that Mussolini gave the city of Chicago. Now nobody goes around and holds ceremonies near it, but it's there.
They will now,
and it's it's part of our history. I mean, our mayor had a relationship.
I was thinking Nazi, and so that's.
But Germany is pretty well whitewashed Nazi references out of its public square.
I like going to Europe. You like going to Europe. I think you guys probably do too. And I'm trying to come up with a specific case, but I'm very confident that there are statues in the public place of past regimes, whether it was, felled kings in Prague that no longer represents the current government or things like that. I don't know that they take all of those down. Now, there are cases when they do for the Nazis, I think for the Soviets in Soviet Russia. But it seems to me that statues can survive regime change or things like that.
It's our Steve Bertrand, the last voice you heard there from WGN Radio, of course, and then Krista McQuarrie, the Chicago Tribune editorial writer, and columnist Eric Zorn. We're all going to get together for dinner tonight, by the way, and I can just see it. Eric's going to say, I like red wine, and Kristen's going to say, I like white wine. And then we're going to have a spirited discussion about the virtues of the two colors. And there I will be in the middle saying, I'll just have a rosé. I have to tell you that I think a lot of us have had this conversation with our friends or made up our minds about the Confederate flag. There was a survey, though, this week that said how many of Americans see the Confederate statue, say a statue to General Lee, as just a measure of Southern pride, and how many of you see it as something that is racially divisive. And most people, it was like by a 2-to-1 margin, it was 60-some percent to 30-something percent, most Americans see these statues as just measures of Southern pride. What's been lost on me, and so where I'm, you notice I didn't participate in that part of the conversation too much because I'm a little bit new to this. What's been lost on me over the years is not what has been erected, but why. I was not fully aware of the fact that that was sort of a flip to people, you know, say in the 50s and 60s, who did not fully want to integrate. If that was the reason that some of those statues went up, now I need to sort of cogitate on that and figure out where I am on these things. The problem I think we'll ultimately run into is if you say a Lee statue is offensive and it should come down everywhere, and by the way, across the country at the most local levels now, town halls, they're debating this, and a lot of these things are going to change. Should we change Balbo? That's the problem. Now, where and how and when do you decide what was too offensive and what was not? I'm not saying it's not a worthwhile conversation. I'm saying if you're a little slow to have an opinion about this, I'm going to forgive you. Eric Zorn has already made up his mind. He's outraged, and he's very clear about it. Some of us are a little newer to the dance than he is. It's 11:20, and it's not bad to be at the dance, right? It's 11:22 on WGN. A couple of calls here. Sana, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you? Hi, Sana.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. You're on the air. What do you want to say?
I just want to say, listen, I'm a black girl, okay? And hearing all this about, you know, why these statues were put up and what was going on with the country at that time and, you know, how this is affecting us today, I get it. I'm just kind of concerned that we're more concerned about the statues than we are about having a conversation about how we move forward with each other. It's not going to do any good to tear down the statue, but we're still dealing with some of the same issues that were going on when the statues were erected. I don't understand, you know, how I think I heard somebody there say, you know, we're focused on the wrong thing. The statues are the statues. I could care less about the statues. How do we plan to go forward in regardless to the statues? While the statues are still there, how do we still maintain a humane relationship with one another? How do we respect each other's background and cultures and differences in spite of the statues? Don't tear the statues down if we're still going to have the same take. I don't get that.
It's a perfect call. I'm really glad you're listening. Thank you, Sana. Well said.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Pat, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, John. I think a point that no one is listening to, but I care deeply about because my life has been affected by it, is the fact that I'm a boomer, okay? My father went to war. He fought all the way over Europe. You know, there are cemeteries at the grounds where the men went on D-Day and sacrificed their lives and did things in the name of stopping Hitler and Germany. My father liberated a concentration camp. I have pictures. No 20-year-old should ever see or do the things they had to do. And I am sick that we're allowing these neo-Nazis, they're really Nazis, they're not neo-Nazis, that are poisoning the water in our country. And to the extent that my father was so scarred that eventually he took his life, I feel this is a real disservice to all those young men that went to war.
Thank you for your father's service. I'm so sorry your family's endured that, and he did the aftermath. And I'll tell you something you know now, Pat. The irony is of what you're saying is that your father died in the name of free speech, the American values. And so as much as we hate to see the Nazis march, we also allow people to express their views in this country. The the problem with your argument, right, is that your dad died in the service of the things that the Nazis were doing, marching and expressing themselves. If you're going to not let them march, this is kind of a tangent, but, you know, how do we decide who does and doesn't get to march?
Well, I think it has to do with the same issue of yelling fire in a theater. Does it incite something to the point where yeah. violence becomes the issue, yeah. and that is, or tragedy? And I think we're really close to that point. But I just think most of the veterans are passing now and are no longer able to speak. But I feel like a person who's a child of a vet has to speak and say this is wrong that we're allowing these people to carry arms and intimidate. You know, speech is one thing. But they're armed, and they respect Adolf Hitler. They respect those values. We're walking a very thin, tight rope.
I'm so glad you called, Pat. Thanks for listening.
Thank
That's
you.
Well said. I'm glad you joined us too. They had a permit to march. By the way, the other side had a permit to march too, despite what you may have heard. And when they get done analyzing this, they're going to conclude that the city was ill prepared. That if they had been able to keep the two sides apart, however much they disagreed with each other, however much we all disagree with the marchers, this did not have to go down that way. It's 11:29. We'll get to the news in a minute. Thank you, Domitee. It's 11:39.
I don't know your nights like this. Do you try on all your nights like this?
I might.
Put some spotlight.
Saturdays at this time, we do something called the Vibe Score segment. It's where producer Griffin walks us through a series of songs, videos, pictures, things in the news that we'll all opine on. Vibe Score is an app you can get for free if you've got a smartphone and it was made by that Apple company. And here's what happens. We'll send you things that are of interest to you, and we ask you to score them on a scale of 1 to 100. What are we listening to there, Griffin?
That was the song Slide by Calvin Harris featuring Frank Ocean.
I was just going to say, I thought that was Frank Ocean.
That was Frank Ocean that we heard there, and then Migos shows up later.
That song.
Show up later.
Awesome. I love that song.
I do, too.
I love Frank Ocean, so there you go.
Calvin Harris has been hit or miss for me in the past. He's sort of like the front guard of the like EDM pop crossover, so like dance songs that are also very poppy, that are extremely popular. So, and that's not a trend that I'm a big fan of generally, but he comes through with a great song every once in a while. He made that song We Found Love in a Hopeless Place with Rihanna a few years ago. It's a classic. And this one is insanely good.
It
came out
again?
At the beginning of summer. It's called Slide.
Slide. Scale of 1 to 100, I'm going to give that a 93. Maybe 94. Come back to me in a minute. Domitee, what do you score that one?
I think I'm with you. 93.
93. Sam Panionovich in sports.
I like it. I like Frank Ocean. 87.
Griffin.
I'm also a 90. We all like this one a lot. And this raises the question. I was talking about this with a friend. It was like, why wasn't this just dominating song of the summer? It was like a moderately big hit, but then it kind of came and went. And I was very surprised that it didn't.
Yeah, me too.
Rise to the top of the charts. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Have you seen the video for it?
No.
I don't know if that drives things anymore or not. I'm just thinking about the movement of YouTube videos this summer, and it's pretty amazing what's been going on out there.
Well, yeah, because we talked about how See You Again became the number one most viewed YouTube video of all time earlier in the summer. And during that conversation, we talked about how Despacito had already a song that came out just earlier in the summer as well, or came out earlier in the summer, was already in the top 10 most viewed of all time.
Yeah,
that is now the number one most viewed YouTube video of all time.
Think about that. I mean,
it took like a few months.
You could see how Gangnam Style did it because it was fun, and then it was out there a while, And then somebody just comes out of nowhere and boom, a billion views.
I don't know what kind of metric that is for judging a song's popularity. I mean, it obviously means something, but I wonder if we put too much importance on it. But it is pretty amazing.
No, that's how you decide. I think anything with a billion is the best song ever. that's all, because people don't do anything a billion times because they don't like it. They do it a billion times because they really like it.
I quibble with that logic, but we don't. It's like an hour-long conversation, I think. That's pretty deep, actually.
I know.
It's
like
philosophical.
I fully appreciate the flaws of that, but boy, but I think I'm pretty close to being right about that. It's the Britney. You know what it is? It's Britney Spears writ large. That's what that is. People go, oh, Britney Spears, she sucks. That music's no good. And I go,
she says that anymore, though.
She sells a lot of records. I know that's a little dated. And she's repaired her image, and we like Britney now. But
we love Britney.
We love Britney. What else you got for us, Griff?
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
All right, the eclipse. One more time for the eclipse.
I'm very curious about this. Doma T, eclipse.
Are you excited?
You're against it. How excited are you for the eclipse?
I was like, meh, until maybe yesterday.
Today.
Today, right now, okay, I'm somewhat excited. I'm mildly.
I need a number.
70.
Panionovich, go.
50, I don't care.
Yeah.
Griffin.
I think I'd go 52.
100.
What do you expect will happen to you when the eclipse does take place? What is this anticipation looking towards?
Well, I fully expect I'm going to be sucked into a vortex and be delivered to a black hole.
That does sound nice. It does sound pretty good.
I think you are going to have... You remember when Y2K happened and we thought airplanes were going to rain out of the sky and clocks were going to go backwards. And Y2K was thoroughly underwhelming. Maybe because we anticipated it and fixed all the computer codes. But I'm hoping for some crazy stuff. I want birds
remember the
to fly
supermoon
backwards.
Or the red moon, red supermoon?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was pretty fun, but I watched it.
It wasn't a solar eclipse, though, now, was it?
I don't know. You told me that we wouldn't even notice the solar eclipse. So by that,
right, that's true. I mean, it's,
you
it's,
can't reconcile those two things.
It's weird to immerse yourself in all things eclipse when it's going to be sunny and bright here. But
you just like the idea of it happening.
Yes, totally. It's like Monday Night Football.
But you
really
can do that all
watch
the time.
It, but I'm glad it's there.
You could look out into the heavens and think, there's amazing stuff happening out there all the time. I can't see it. But I can enjoy the thought of it. You can do that anytime you want.
Don't yuck my yum, Griffin. We got a...
No, for some reason, I'm just like... I feel like you've had a week's worth of shows of just all yum.
A little yuck doesn't hurt
one me. Yuck. That's what I'm here for.
All right, what have you got next?
Do you think the Cubs will win the division?
Okay, this is... What's your... This is your vibe score on the Cubs... 100 score means they're going to win the World Series. A 0 means they're going to lose the rest of their games.
Wait, no.
Series.
No, that's not the question I asked.
Well, I think that is, but go ahead.
It's
two completely different things.
It's gaslighting me.
It's my show.
No. Are they going to win the division?
Okay. Are they going to win the division?
I think that's a better question.
Are they going to win the division?
Yes.
I am 92% sure.
How many games up are they again?
They're 1.5. No, I think it's 1.5. What is it, Sam? Is it 1.5 they're up?
Last check, 1.5. I don't think anybody's played yet this morning. Yeah, 1.5 on the Cardinals, who are the hottest team in the last 3 weeks.
I'm a 92. Sam, what are you? Cubs win the division.
81.
Pongo!
I'm sports illiterate. I've got to just say what Sam says. 81. 80.
How about you, Griff?
82. sort of same. Yeah. And not completely tuned in.
Now, John Lester will probably miss 2 starts. That doesn't help. And you're without Contreras for probably 3 more weeks. But they're still the best team in the division. They have the most talent.
Oh, look at you. You're always running down the Cubs.
You're a Cubs Sox boy. Yeah, okay.
Also in sports, I want to... It might not work right now because you need to see this picture, but we'll put it up on the app. There is a sculpture in the outfield at the Miami Marlins park that new owner Derek Jeter wants to remove.
It's not General Lee, is it?
No.
What a
but
problem.
It seemed appropriate. A lot of sculpture
thick it that is.
Statue talk this week. But it's public art, so he's having a hard time moving it. It costs $2.5 million. He wants to get rid of it. I want to show people the picture and see what they think. I think it's fun.
Can you describe it to us generally?
It's like a tropical setting. There's some flamingos, palm trees, a sun, a couple marlin at the top.
Why doesn't he want it out there?
I don't know.
He wants to put a statue of himself out there.
Maybe so.
No, we all like Derek Jeter. I think he's probably smart and his head and heart are in the right place on these things. Is it just kind of ugly?
That's what I want to ask people, because it's definitely a lot.
There's a lot going on there.
But we'll just get to that on the app, and then maybe we'll see next week.
All right, give me one last thing. Anything else for our consideration?
One more. I kind of want to do like a summer wrap-up, just how was your summer? This is a what's up, because we always ask how you feel about something, but I want to ask about the people sometimes.
Sure.
We got a week and a half left in summer.
Yeah, how's your summer been? I like sort of getting the zeitgeist or the mood of people generally. Okay, you ready for my summer vibe?
Yeah.
53.
That's so historically low for you.
I seldom go there. We moved this summer. It's been the hardest summer of my life. And it's been a pleasant, lovely summer. I feel like I'm missing it. I haven't had a chance to use my indoor-outdoor table tennis facility that much.
You've been using it a lot, I think.
I have been. You know who hasn't played much is you. You come over, and you know I want to play table tennis, and you won't even go there. And I'm like, it's the elephant in the room. You go, I'm not going to ask.
I'm so busy preparing for the Saturday show. I have no time.
How was your summer, Domati? 1 to 100.
100. Actually, this is one of the best summers I've had in a few years. I've got to give it 100. Met you cool people, and it's been great. It's been a really good summer.
I said mine was a 53. Would have been a 29 if I hadn't met you, Domati. You really pulled it up. How about you, Sam Panionovich? How's your summer been?
I'm up there, too. I'm probably 95. Hattiesburg, Mississippi, New York City, Las Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. You've been traveling.
Met Domati. Cruise of the South Side. I mean, hey, man, it's been a great summer for me. 90? Did I say 95? I'm going to go 97. I'm going to ramp it up.
How's your summer, Griff?
Well, based on this precedent, if I don't give a high score just on having met Domati, you guys really threw down the gauntlet. 100. I wish I could do 1,000. It has been a pleasure.
11 billion.
Being on the radio with you, Domati. I go 70. I didn't have to move.
So there's that.
Didn't have to move.
All right, it's 11:49. There's two other things I want to get to. One is a preview of a segment that we're going to be doing starting, I guess, the second week of September. Sam Panionovich, our football picks segment.
Our football picks segment.
We'll get to that in just a minute. Sam and I have a chance of splitting $1 million. I'll explain that in just a second. And also, if anybody can explain to me how the raffle in Morris is working, I'd like you to do so. There's a front page story in today's Chicago Tribune. Look, I grew up in Manuka. I was the president of the 1977 Manuka High School French Club.
Please clap.
My roots are in Grundy County. So in Morris, which is the county seat, they're having the VFW raffle. If nobody wins, it goes up a little bit. If nobody wins this week, it goes up a little bit more. Usually it's 100, 1,000, maybe 1,500 bucks. It's at 1.6 million. And they described, and I don't know how a raffle doesn't generate a winner. Don't you all put a ticket in a hat and then you pull it out and somebody wins the money? That's maybe a 50-50 I described. But for the article in the Tribune isn't very good in explaining it. I'll read to you what they said. And then it doesn't say what the odds are. Anyway, if somebody from Morris is in on this thing and could explain it to me, 312-981-7200, not since Morris the Cat sold cat food on American television has Morris been a bigger deal. 312-981-7200, tell me how that thing works in a minute. It's 11:54. Tim is in Yorkville, home of the Yorkville Foxes. Tim, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing awesome.
Have you gone?
On my way to go to get some sweet corn right now from Yorkville, Illinois.
Attaboy. Do you ever go to Morris since you're out that way?
We do. Every week we go and buy our tickets. They're $1 a piece. It's basically a stack of cards that includes the aces, and they pick a card every week. And so people go in there and buy for $1 a piece as many raffle tickets as they want, and hope that their number or their ticket gets picked. And then they open up one of the cards out of the deck and see which card it is. Now, the only cards that pay off are face cards, and I believe those are paid 3% of the overall pot. Yeah. And then the aces, I think, might be worth 5%, but it has grown just exponentially every week. And it's gotten crazy to the point where there's only three cards left, and they've decided it's out of control, and they're going to pick this Monday for a winner. So they'll pick cards until there is a winner out of the three that are left.
Hmm. Okay, I don't understand a word you just said, but it seems to me like the odds should be 1 in 52 or something. I don't know how they, with that many people having bought $1.6 million worth of tickets as of the press date in the Chicago Tribune today, how did they not have a winner already, you know?
There's just so many people buying tickets. There's tubs, huge tubs of tickets that are sold every week.
How many tickets do you have?
I buy $20 a week.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to talk to them about this on Monday when the dust settles on the eclipse. But good luck to you, and thanks for helping me out on that, Tim. I really appreciate your listening.
Enjoying your show. Thanks.
I enjoy your conversation, although I don't. He knows. It's so clear to him he doesn't have to go into a lengthy explanation. I don't know how it works. Speaking of gaming, Sam Panionovic, we're out of time today, but we don't need to discuss it much. But you are in a pool with 600 people playing the NFL this year, right?
Yeah, five games a week. It starts week one, so you and I will get together. We will chum it up. We will start on Saturday, September 9th. That's when the first picks are due. And if we win, John, we get $1 million.
You optimistic about the Bears game tonight against Arizona?
I'm excited to see Mitch Trubisky, whether it's good, whether it's bad. If he plays well, I'm excited. If he makes mistakes, I'm excited about him learning from the mistakes. Just get him out there. Let him get reps. I'm excited for the future, put it that way.
You're already writing Glennon off after one poor
half. No.
Half.
It's Glennon's year, but am I wrong that I don't really care how Mike Glennon plays this year? He's just here for a year.
Yeah.
He's not the long-term guy.
He's not going to be here next year?
No, they'll buy him out. It's a three-year deal, but all the money is guaranteed in 1 year, and then you could essentially cut him after year one, and that's what they will do. I expect that full-heartedly.
Good to know that. All right, you and I will talk football games. We'll pick them on Saturdays,
yep.
The five that you are most confident in, I will advise,
yep.
And then Monday we'll come back on my Monday afternoon show and see how you did.
And then in January we will go to Vegas and pick up that big check.
$1 million, $1,158.